Hello and welcome to episode 4 of season 2 of the Ride the Rails podcast. This episode is sponsored by TaylorMade Rail. I'm joined by the man in seat 61, Mark Smith. Mark, welcome on board.
Hello, Andy.
We're talking sleepers today.
We are indeed. All things sleeper.
Indeed. Firstly, one thing I'd like to say, everyone thinks of sleepers as for an overnight train, which, of course, what do you want to go on a train for overnight and sleep? However, there's a little quirk happened recently in Romania where they're getting extra use of their sleeping car carriages by putting them on long distance daytime trains. Not sure if that's for social distancing or if to maximise use of stock, but for me, I think that's a fantastic innovation.
It is a COVID thing, apparently, because people in this day and age want to have their own little enclosed space. So CFR, Romanian Railways, decided, well, why not put sleepers on daytime trains and give people that option? Whether it'll catch on in the longer term or not is another question.
I think quite an interesting innovation, though, particularly on some of those very long trains. In Romania, some of the day trains can be running for 12, 13 hours. So if you're going from Iasov near Moldova across to Timișoara. So quite a nice option, especially if they have a dining car on the train as well.
Of course, that
would be perfect.
But of course, what I think many people listening to this won't realise, if they haven't travelled by sleeper in Europe, is that the sleepers convert to a private sitting room with a sofa and a coffee table during the day. So actually what you're offering is not the chance to sleep across Romania in a bed, but travel across Romania in your own private sitting room.
And some of the sleeping compartments, actually where they adjoin each other, have a door that can be opened. You can even create your own mini suite if you really want to have the Orient Express, very loosely kind of experience, book two sleepers and have the door open.
If you're in the money, yes.
Absolutely. I think basic question, Mark, what is a sleeper train?
Well, it's a way that rail can compete with air and offer a practical alternative, leaving in the evening, arriving in the morning, covering huge distances, 500, 600, 700 miles in the nighttime hours, and thus compete with a flight that might actually involve 5 hours of train to the airport, check-in, flight, airport, and then train into the city, 5 daytime hours. So they're a very time effective way to go. And I think they're a marvellous experience as well, snuggling down between crisp sheets, reading a book by the glare of your birth light, steel wheels swishing on steel rail beneath you. Sometimes people say, well, I want to see the scenery. Actually, I've enjoyed some great journeys down the Rhine Valley by moonlight on the Cologne-Vienna sleeper. And if you take the sleeper from Belgrade to Bar on what is in Montenegro and what is one of Europe's most spectacular train journeys, you actually do see most of the great mountain scenery at the southern end of the line by daylight from your sleeper. So all is not necessarily lost, even in terms of scenery.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're making mention of travelling at night, particularly when there's a full moon. It really is a magical experience. And even going through cities at night, so it sounds a bit bad, but spying on people, seeing life going on at the trackside, I just think it's such a wonderful experience.
Yeah, well, people don't seem to think they need to draw the curtains, do they, if they're back onto a railway line?
But that equally applies the other way around. If you're changing from day to nighttime clothes or vice versa, and your train suddenly stops in a platform which is full of commuters and you've not pulled the blind down, that can be a little embarrassing.
I've managed to avoid that by the skin of my teeth on various occasions.
on the overnight trains, as a rule, I think we can say there are three types of accommodation four sometimes. A lot of overnight trains still carry seating carriages. Then you have the couchette cars, which traditionally have been either four berth or six berth, but that does seem to be changing. Then you have a sleeping car, which can be as one, two or three berth. And then a few trains have a deluxe cabin with an ensuite bathroom. Again, could be for one, two or three people. I think the changes with couchettes that are being introduced are for the better, kind of with the demise of six berth. What are your views on that?
I think the days of six berth couchettes are numbered. They're really too, and it's not just the pandemic, they're too crowded for the modern traveller. The modern couchette traveller actually said doesn't really want to share with strangers at all. That's an issue with night trains, which is why Austrian Railways' new night jet rolling stock is going to have little mini suites, little private capsules, where you'll be able to have your own space at an economy price. But even for those operators that do operate couchettes, there is so much more space per person in a four berth. It is so much more civilized than traveling in a six berth. I really think six berth are going to die out.
Yep. Probably one of the best experiences actually with a couchette four berth is if there's just three of you traveling and you book the whole compartment, because you have a spare bed for where you can put your picnic on it, or you can set all your batteries, phones, computers out. I always like having a spare bed in a compartment just to be able to spread out.
Well, it's worth saying that if you get the choice of six berth or four berth, not only is there far more space per person in the four berth, but when you're sitting up in the evening or the morning, of course, two people sitting on a three-seater bench seat, that you've got so much more room to spread out, to use the seat next to you as a form of table to put your stuff down, compared to three of you sitting in a row, elbow to elbow. It's really worth paying the extra. And I suppose while I'm saying that, I should also say that sitting in a seat on a night train is a false economy. It's a bit like sleeping in a shop doorway to save the hostel fee, I think. Always pay for at least a couchette, if not sleeper.
I think there's one exception to that, Mark, with Nightjet, where you can actually book out a whole seating compartment at quite an attractive price. I think it's maybe something like 99 euros for the whole compartment. And the carriages they use, the seats in the compartments actually lie flat. So you have a 1/8 kind of a flat bed. Which is, if there's three of you, it can be quite comfortable. Two would be better. The only problem is if there's three of you and you're in the window seat and you need the bathroom in the middle of the night.
I think they're a bit bumpy, those seats, when they pull out, compared to a flatbed. And of course, there's no lock on a seating compartment door. So you better stay up all night making sure that door doesn't open. In a couchette or sleeper, there's a normal lock on the door, and usually a security lock or security bolt as well.
Yeah, and actually security is an interesting point with night trains. From my experience over my many years of travelling, I found security has improved, particularly when you look at trains like the Nightjet, because everybody who's on board that train must have a reservation. So it kind of stops kind of waif and strays getting on board the train and getting up to nefarious activities. Some trains still do suffer from a bit of a bad rap, but again, if you're in a sleeping compartment and you can lock the door, it just makes it a little bit more secure.
I mean, it's worth saying that touch wood, I haven't had a problem in 20 years of traveling on 20 years. Who am I kidding? 40 years of traveling on night trains. Always there's always a secondary lock on a sleeping car, be it a chain or a security lock, which can't be opened from outside. The ordinary locks, of course, can. So just make sure you use that. And increasingly, like the Comfort Line sleeping cars on Nightjet, they're using hotel style card keys, which obviously you can't just open up from the outside with an ordinary railway carriage key.
And also, I think it's worth mentioning that certainly with sleeping cars, they tend to have a conductor for that specific sleeping car, who's part of that role is for security of the carriage. So that's a little benefit as well. So I think we're seeing a somewhat of a renaissance of sleeping cars in Europe. They were dying a death 3 or 4 years ago, and suddenly everybody's getting back into them. Dare I say, even the French.
Yeah, it's quite surprising, isn't it? They were dead set against them only a few years ago, and with a little help from the French government, have suddenly rediscovered an interest in them. And we've got the Paris-Nice sleeper back, and this December we're going to get the sleeper from Paris to Hendaye on the Spanish border, Lourdes and Tarbes back. If there were two French night trains I wanted to see back, those would be the two, so that's very good news indeed. We're not out of the woods yet, of course, because of the problems in Spain with the train hotels to Portugal. But certainly the prospect for night trains across the whole of Europe and certainly Central Europe are looking far brighter than they have done for decades.
The night train from Paris to Nice, when it relaunched a couple of weeks ago, the French Prime Minister was on board for the inaugural southbound. Now, I'm lucky I have a full head of hair. However, that backfires when you take a night train, because when I get off a night train, I have what I call sleeper hair. My hair is a complete mess. The French Prime Minister was kind of follically challenged. So he was getting off the train looking totally fresh. So there's one advantage of being follically challenged is if you take a sleeper train.
Don't you just have your makeup person and coiffeur in the compartment next door ready for your camera appearance, ready for your close-up, Mr. DeMille, the following morning?
No, they're looking after the red carpet.
Ah.
You mentioned Spain, Mark. The Spanish have fallen into the French trap, I would say, where they see high-speed trains as the only method of transport that people want to travel on to get around the country. And then when you consider some of the distances in Spain, particularly if you're going up through to northwest Spain, to Oviedo, A Coruña, even a high-speed train takes an age. The French went through this process 10 years ago, scrapping all the night trains, have now realised the errors of their way. But Spain are actually scrapping the night trains now.
Well, Spain had a policy of trying to get everywhere, all the provincial capitals, within 3 hours of Madrid, which will be fine, except that from Galicia to Barcelona is a lot longer than 3 hours, even by a high-speed train. And that's where they had one of their sleepers that would have made rail travel a practical option against air travel. And of course, to Portugal, the only international trains there are the sleeper from the French border to Lisbon and from Madrid to Lisbon. There are no daytime trains, and they're certainly not daytime high-speed trains. We might just about see a high-speed train from Lisbon to Madrid in about 2023 or 2024 when the Spanish and Portuguese complete bits of new line on both sides of the border. But now is the wrong time to get rid of the sleeper trains linking Portugal to everywhere else.
Yeah, I wonder what happens with the European train planning meetings. So the different countries get together to plan the train timetables kind of months, if not years, in advance. I wonder if the Spanish are just sat in one corner, not talking to anybody. The Swedes are redeveloping the overnight trains. The French, NightJet are ordering brand new trains. Everybody in Europe is night trains, except Spain.
And I think the Portuguese would be if they got some assistance from the Spanish.
Yeah. I have picked up some rail talk that the Portuguese government were looking to buy some carriages to operate that train up to the French border. But that seems to have gone quiet. I don't know if you have any inside information on that.
Unfortunately not. I've heard those same rumours, but it has gone very quiet. But then you'd expect it to. Things, you know, they're all working away behind the scenes, I hope, to see if they can pull something from the wreckage.
Indeed. And that's not to say that those night trains in Spain are, the carriages themselves are not being scrapped. They're getting two new uses. One use is they're going to be conventional high-speed trains and daytime high-speed trains. And secondly, I'd read that some of them have been sold to India and are going to go off to India.
Yeah, India's getting the latest type of train hotel, the one that used to link Galicia with Barcelona. They are very nice sleeper trains, but I'm just wondering what Indian Railways are going to do with them.
Yeah, and the great thing as well with those night trains that they're taking on board in India is some of the compartments are the grand class, which have an ensuite bathroom, which would be a real innovation for India for scheduled trains.
It would be, but I'm not clear whether they're going to be used on scheduled trains or some sort of cruise train.
Ah, right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just talking of Indian cruise trains, I've been very lucky. I've managed to travel on all the trains in India that do the private cruises. There's four of them, four or five, because one of them has disappeared. But just a fantastic experience. Have you had that luxury of being on one of those as yet?
I have travelled thousands of miles around India on scheduled trains, but not on the luxury cruise trains yet. I haven't set eyes on one yet. They look fabulous.
They really are. They're definitely a six-star experience. Just before we end this first half of our discussion, I think it's worth just quickly talking about Nightjet and who they are and what their philosophy is. So the Austrian operator of night trains, the philosophy seems to be they believe in night trains, they're investing in new trains. What do you see from night train? What's your impression from Nightjet, sorry?
Well, Nightjet, of course, was an immense leap of faith in night trains by Austrian Railways. A couple of years ago, when Deutsche Bahn was about to pull the plug on its entire City Nightline sleeper train network, the Austrians stepped in, bought all 42 of Deutsche Bahn's Comfortline sleeping cars and a lot of their Couchette cars, and took over most, but not all, of the City Nightline routes, in addition to their existing Euronight sleeper train routes, and rebranded them all Nightjet. And they've made them work commercially, the holy grail of night trains with difficult economics being made to work commercially, which is a great achievement. And they haven't done that by sacrificing customer service. The service on board the night jets is absolutely excellent. From the complimentary sparkling wine you get when you board your sleeper through to the breakfast with fresh Kaiserbrotches the following morning. And they have been cautiously expanding their network, reinstating a Vienna to Berlin sleeper, taking sleepers back to Amsterdam and Brussels for the first time in years. And from this December, we'll see a Paris to Vienna sleeper, which will link Paris, not just with Vienna, of course, but through connections with Bratislava and Budapest and all points east. So they've done extremely well.
Yeah, I've been reading in the rail press as well that they're actually turning a profit on the night jets.
The night jets are working commercially. I mean, they are at pains to point out that you won't get rich running night trains, but they're washing their faces and they are worth doing and worth a crucial part of the business. One of the issues is that night trains were only a tiny percentage of Deutsche Bahn's business, so they saw it as marginal, but they represent about 20% of OBB's business, so are significant. And the way OBB has expanded Nightjet, they're now really punching above their weight. They are the major sleeping car player in Western Europe. When a German citizen takes a sleeper train in Germany from Hamburg to Munich, he's now traveling on an Austrian train.
Absolutely. But I take my hat off to Nightjet that they're going back to Paris, because anything related to France can be very difficult when it comes to railway operation. And the fact they're going back to Paris is such a coup, in my opinion.
But it's such a prize, definitely. Yeah. Linking the French capital with the rest of Europe to the east.
Yeah. Mark, I think we'll just take a short break for a quick word from our sponsor, TaylorMade Rail, and see you on the other side of the break. Season 2 of Ride the Rails is sponsored by TaylorMade Rail, the train holiday specialist. They offer flight-free, independent holidays with the mission to simplify the complexities of rail travel to create sustainable and civilized holidays across the European continent. No itinerary is too intricate for them, thanks to their years of experience in the rail holiday business. Some of their most popular itineraries are in Switzerland, including the famous Glacier Express and Jungfrau Mountain Railway. Travelling to Italy via the Alps is also another popular option. They feature longer haul rail adventures, such as London to Istanbul, travelling north to the Arctic Circle, south to Morocco, and east to Russia. Not forgetting their UK holidays, an area that has seen significant levels of interest for 2021 travels. They have a high level of repeat customers thanks to their great service, clear layout of documentation, and reassuring in-trip support in the event of any hitches. They receive consistently excellent reviews on FIFO, the independent review site, where their average score is 4.8 out of 5, a testament to their customer-centric focus and product choices. TaylorMadeRail.com. Welcome back to our discussion on sleeper trains. Most of the listeners we have on the podcast at the moment are from the UK. So I thought it'd be quite interesting, Mark, to just chat about sleeper opportunities when you're leaving the UK, heading over into Europe.
Well, the good news is that it looks like Brussels is going to become a sleeper hub. Now, it's just got its first sleeper, the Nightjet, three times a week from Brussels to Vienna. It's only three times a week because at the moment there isn't enough rolling stock to run it every day. Hopefully when the new rolling stock arrives in a year or two time for Nightjet services, it'll go to daily. But that Brussels-Vienna is the only the first, because we have Moonlight Express, which are some Belgian entrepreneurs who are planning a Brussels to Berlin sleeper train from next year. And another entrepreneurial pair, this time from the Netherlands, called European Sleeper, have cooperated with private operator Regiojet and are proposing a train from Brussels via Antwerp, Den Haag and Amsterdam to Berlin and Prague, possibly with a portion for Warsaw. So all of these sleeper trains will have a connection from London by Eurostar. So just 2 hours from London to Brussels. Have a drink or beer in that Pullman Hotel.
Yep. Absolutely.
Away from the hustle and bustle of the concourse. And then catch a sleeper train to Prague, Warsaw, Berlin or Vienna. In fact, OBB Nightjet are also planning a Brussels to Berlin sleeper from December 2024. So it could get quite crowded in the platforms at Brussels Midi with sleeper trains departing for all points east.
Mark, we just need one going to Moscow, and then we can recreate what used to happen in Ostend back in the day when you went across on the Jetfoil in Ostend. There were sleeper trains to everywhere.
I've done that a couple of times, caught the sleeper for to Moscow. But of course, we have a sleeper train from Paris to Moscow once a week, or at least we did have before the pandemic. Not as it used to be, a Russian sleeping car attached to the back of a normal night express with lots of other coaches, but an entire train of sleeping cars and a Polish restaurant car, including some Russian deluxe sleepers with ensuite shower and toilet, going from Paris to Moscow, a two-night, one-day journey. And we've both ridden, haven't we, Andy? Fantastic train.
Paris to Strasbourg.
I wasn't going to spoil it by saying we only got off of Strasbourg, but we cased the joint. We experienced both types of sleeper and the restaurant car, and it's an absolutely marvellous train. I think it's about €250, something like that, for a bed in a four-berth compartment from Paris to Moscow.
And the just on that train, as you say, Mark, they've got the deluxe cabins with the ensuite bathrooms, which are fantastic. They are actually the carriages that they use on the cruise trains in Russia. So, for example, the famous Golden Eagle cruise train, where you're paying £10,000 plus, you can have that experience on the night train from Paris to Moscow. And the lower berth is actually a three-quarter bed. You could semi-comfortably have two people sleeping in the lower berth as a double bed, and then just use the upper bed for storage again. And the dining car, it's interesting how they do the dining car. Paris to the Belarus border is actually a Polish dining car, which in my opinion are probably the best dining cars in Europe, or one of the best dining cars in Europe. And then once the train, I'm not sure if they pick up the Russian dining car in the Belarus border or if it comes on in Minsk, but then there is another dining car taking you forward over to Moscow. So yeah, they have the deluxe cabins, but then I think, Mark, do you just want to explain about the four berths, how they sell those?
Well, we've talked about the deluxe VIP sleepers with ensuite shower and toilet. The other sleep, the ordinary sleeping cars used on this Russian train from Paris to Moscow are almost brand new. They're built in Austria. They've got four berths, two lower, two upper. And in first class use, you just have the two lower berths. And in second class use, you get all four berths in use. So that's the only difference. They're excellent sleeping cars. I mean, you can think of them as first class decor. It's just whether you travel four berths or two berths to a compartment.
And yeah, you've mentioned they built in Austria. They're built by Siemens, who are also the people who are building the new Nightjet trains.
And who also bought the Comfortline sleeping cars currently operated by Nightjet.
Right. Also, there is another train that runs from France to Russia. It's the Nice to Paris night train, which again runs once
a week. Nice to Moscow.
Sorry, Nice to Moscow.
Too many night trains, you see, it's easy to get mixed up.
Indeed. I was invited pre-launch of the Nice to Moscow train. I met the head of Russian Railways, and this was in Murano in northern Italy. Why did they choose Murano? Well, the train from Nice to Moscow goes along the Brenner Pass, and Murano's just off from Bolzano. But also, in Murano, there is a Russian Orthodox Church. And in history, there used to be direct trains from Murano to Russia. So they brought in two Russian sleeping cars, as I say, and the head of Russian Railways was there. And it was an introduction to the travel trade for the launch of this new innovation. And I have to say, it was a really impressive function and a great opportunity to get an insight into the Russian philosophy of night trains, which, of course, they are the experts of running night trains. When you think Moscow to Vladivostok is seven nights on an overnight train. So they know what night trains are about. The other train that goes to the east, there is a train from Warsaw to Kiev every day, the Kiev Express, which uses Ukrainian sleeping cars. And the Ukrainian ones are configured one, two, or three berths. No deluxe cabins on those. Again, an interesting experience. And for both the trains going to Russia and Ukraine, you have the added experience of the change of gauge. Do you want to just run through how about the change of gauge on that?
Well, yes, it's old school change of gauge. Yeah. The carriages are jacked up at the border to have the wheel sets, the bogies, change from standard gauge, 4 foot, 8.5 inches, to Russian gauge, 5 foot. Why did Russia choose such a daft gauge? Well, I was told that it was for military strategic reasons, so that if they were ever invaded, the enemy couldn't use their own rolling stock on Russian railways. But it sort of backfired, I understand, because sure enough, it worked as the Germans invaded Russia. But when the Russians started winning again, they found that the Germans had converted all the railways to 4 foot, 8.5 inches, and they couldn't use their own rolling stock on their own railways. So not the best of ideas, but we're stuck with it now. And anything that crosses the border has to either have very special gauge changing wheels or has to be physically jacked up to have the wheel sets changed. But it is great because you remain in the carriages while that's done and can sort of peer out and take photographs of all this engineering going on underneath your coach.
And there is a tip as well on those trains. And I can't remember if it's the first or second compartment in the carriage is the one to avoid when the gauge changing, because the gauge changers, I don't know what the correct terminology is, come into the carriage and release a huge pin, which is holding the carriage to the bogies underneath. So they come in and take this huge pin out, and then the train is lifted up. So if you're in one of the other compartments, you can quite merrily just sleep your way through. But if you're in two specific compartments, you're definitely woken up. But you'd want to be awake for that experience anyhow, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's a general tip, isn't it, for travelling in sleepers. If you can, book a berth in the centre of the car, not once over the wheels, where it's just smoother and quieter in the middle of the car.
Indeed. Also, just another tip. We've mentioned deluxe wagons, deluxe compartments with the ensuite bathrooms. There are quite a number of these carriages floating around in Europe. The Romanians have some, the Polish have some. However, they're not selling them at the moment as deluxe cabins. They are just a regular carriage on a night train. So you could actually be lucky, book yourself on a night train and almost in a way be given an upgrade to having an ensuite bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain routes where they try to put the new, most modern type of sleeper with these ensuites on. And on those routes where they're sure they're going to have one of these type, you can have a choice between standard and deluxe with ensuite shower and toilet. But there's a number of routes where they often have these cars on, but they can't guarantee it. So rather than sell a deluxe and then have to compensate people or refund people, they just sell all the compartments as standard. So it's almost pot luck. You might, if you're lucky, get one of the deluxes with shower and toilet for the price of an ordinary sleeper. So it's the Poles that do that on routes such as Berlin to Krakow and Przemysl. I'm not pronouncing that right, am I?
I think it might be Szczecin, I think. Over on the
somewhere in Poland, city on the Ukrainian border. Yeah, let's leave it at that. And also the trains in between Romania and Romania and Austria. I've seen a deluxe sold on that, but I'm not sure what they're doing at the moment. If they can't guarantee that type of sleeper, they will sell them all as standard.
Yep.
So you might get lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing Nightjet don't do, but the Romanians do, and some other countries as well, is have a dining car for the night train. I think that's the one downside on Nightjet, that there's no dining car.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, the economics of sleeper trains are the most difficult to make work. You're not going to get rich running them. And I think Nightjet took the decision that having a dining car with the extra maintenance cost and having a crew employed on nighttime rates for 12 hours, of which, let's face it, for 6 hours, they're not going to have much to do, is just too difficult to make work. So it's a shame. But on the plus side, on a Nightjet, you can order decent food served by the attendant in your compartment on proper china with proper cutlery. And if you are joining a night train and you haven't eaten, well, that's quite a nice way to have a meal brought to you rather than have to go out of your sleeper to find it.
Yeah, no, very true. I've had the opportunity in the past, well, pre-COVID, traveling up in Sweden and in Finland on night trains. So across Europe, quite a number of countries still run domestic night trains. We mentioned Poland, Italy, Romania, Bulgaria, Slovakia, and then Sweden, Norway, and Finland. In Sweden, they have what I think is quite interesting. If you have a deluxe compartment on the Swedish night train, you can choose to have your breakfast either in the dining car on the train, or they have an arrangement with a hotel just opposite Stockholm Central Station, where you go across to the hotel and participate in the buffet breakfast. I'd always recommend doing the latter because you get a little bit of extra sleep on the train. You'll have had the fun of dining on the train the night before, having your meatballs for dinner, and the buffet in the, I think it's the Scandic across the road, is a proper Scandinavian breakfast buffet. So very, very substantial.
Well, that's almost another tip for taking a night train. If you don't get served an inclusive breakfast, as you do on night jet, try a hotel across the road from the station. I can remember taking a Paris to Toulouse French night train, which of course don't have breakfast served on board. You arrive nice and early in Toulouse, just pop over the road to the Pullman Hotel and ask if you can join their hotel buffet breakfast.
And the Pullman buffet breakfast is pretty good in Toulouse.
It's very good indeed, yeah.
Another thing with the travelling on night trains, if you're travelling in the better category of compartment, is access to first-class lounges. Now, we've mentioned Vienna, and Vienna really is the European hub for night trains. And it has a fabulous first-class lounge on the main Hauptbahnhof railway station, which you can use both on arrival as well as departure. So come in on a night train. If you're like me, you'd leave yourself a couple of hours until your next connecting train. You can comfortably wait with decent coffee, croissants in the morning. And then in the evening, of course, they have wine time before you depart on your night train.
That's right. I mean, the Austrians have lounges at Vienna, Salzburg and Innsbruck, which you can use with any type of sleeping car, whether it's standard or deluxe, not with couchettes, not with seats, just with sleeping cars. There's also a lounge on Platform 9 in Budapest Kalerti, if you're taking a sleeper train there. Now, there is a lounge in Prague as well, but I'm not sure I rate the one in Prague. I think I'd much rather go and try the restaurant Zvonica outside the station if I was leaving in the evening, and maybe the fantastic cafe on the upper level if I was arriving in the morning and wanted a coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. That changed hands recently. I've always known it as Coffee Day, which was really bizarrely an Indian coffee chain ran the franchise of the fabulous coffee shop in Prague's main station. Unfortunately, there are issues with Coffee Day, but now they have a new outfit doing it. And I can report that I did try it, and it was as good, if not better, than its previous guys.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
We mentioned earlier, you mentioned about the new night train starting from Brussels to various points. Another one which is due to start this year, which I very, very much welcome, is a Stockholm to Berlin night train. Mark?
Well, that's true. It's run by a private open access operator, Snalltåget, I should say. It leaves Stockholm around 16:22 off the top of my head and get into Hamburg about 6 in the morning and Berlin at, off the top of my head, 8:52. So it's linking some major cities there. Now, of course, it won't have a full sleeping car. It will have seats and couchettes, but you can book a sole compartment. I'm a little concerned about their pricing though, because they're not allowing people to book individual births at affordable rates. Maybe a pandemic thing, or it may be a commercial thing. You can book a whole compartment for up to six people for about €250, I think. Now, that's great if you're a family, great if you're a group of friends, but if you're just one person on your own, I think that's a bit prohibitive. So I think that's a bit of an issue on that particular route. If they can fill that train with families and groups, then that's all well and groovy. But I think that could be quite a difficult one to take if you're a solo traveller or even a couple.
Indeed. And do you know if they participate in the Interrail scheme?
I think they do, but I can't remember what the surcharge is for Interrailers who want a compartment.
Right.
I might be wrong about that.
Because I think just leading on from that, just think it's maybe quite useful just to give some headline prices of Interrail supplements for sleeper trains. All this information I've got here, it's been gleaned from a wonderful website, seat61.com.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And just to give you some headline figures, in Italy, and I like the Italian night trains. With an Interrail, it's €58 in a two-berth sleeping car. And you could travel from Milan to Palermo for an additional 58 euros. That's something like 16 hours in a sleeping car, which I think is not bad value. With the night jet, if you're going for a two-berth sleeping car, the supplements range from 65 to 79 euros. But they do give you breakfast, as do the Italians as well. Give you, okay, quite a limited breakfast, but they give you some breakfast. When you go further east, Poland, again, some of the distances in Poland are actually extremely long when you're traveling by train, because the infrastructure isn't particularly great in parts of the network. So you can have an overnight train there for €37 supplements, which again is not too bad. And at the other extreme in Norway, they just sell the sleepers as solo or double occupancy. And it's the same price if there's one or two of you. You pay €102.60 for a sleeper supplement. So they're not bad when you consider you're saving a night's hotel accommodation.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's worth giving the prices, the starting prices for a typical nightjet sleeper without a pass. A night in a couchette starts at €49, travel and couchette included. In a four berth, it starts at €59, and then a two bed sleeper from €99.90.
Yes.
In fact, a room to yourself, single bed sleeper starts at €139.90. So not bad pricing.
I didn't find a solo supplement for nightjet. I did find a solo supplement for Italy, and it's €122 on top of the Interrail price, which I think personally is pushing it a little bit. That's quite steep.
The only issue in Italy is that you need a first class pass for the singles and doubles. If you've only got a standard class pass, you're stuck with booking a berth and a three berth. Whereas with nightjet, everything is technically second class. So any type of Interrail, you can pay the surcharge for any type of sleeper or couchette, even a deluxe with shower, if it's a nightjet.
Oh, okay. Now, I've been biting my tongue all the way through this conversation, Mark. And some people may say this is going to be swearing, but dare I mention Tello, which is a Paris to Italy night train. Mark?
Well, yes, Tello started off running a Paris to Florence and Rome and a Paris to Milan and Venice night train, ended up just running the Paris to Milan and Venice train. I mean, it was very convenient. It left at 7:15 in the evening, got into Venice at 9:12, Milan at 6 the next morning, Venice at 9:30. 35 euros, as little as that would get. In fact, I think for a while, 29 euros will get you a couchette from Paris to Venice. So incredibly good value as well. Just not necessarily the best run night train in Europe. Sometimes got in, especially northbound, after it's been halted on the Swiss border by customs people, you know, a couple of hours late, 3 hours late. But it was a fun ride. It was a fun ride. I just wish it was a night jet.
Yeah, no, absolutely. For the kind of the back of the bus traffic, so for the interrailers going for couchettes, for people looking for a low cost transport, Tello was actually a really good product. The issue, certainly that I found in my rail booker's days, is people had a perception that Paris to Venice, a night train, is going to be the Orient Express.
They were booking the wrong train because of course, the Venice Saint Laurent Express does link London, Paris and Venice. But if you're paying 29 euros for a couchette on Tello, that's not what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But it was a great train. And it is very sad that it's been suspended because of the pandemic, and even sadder that it doesn't look as if it's going to come back. I gather they haven't ruled out reinstating the night train next year. And indeed, the French government has great plans for night trains, and they include reinstating Paris-Rome and Paris-Venice. But we'll have to see whether that actually comes to fruition, how the French government bring that about.
Interesting. Now, just to round this off, it's just a little tale. A while ago, Russian railways were deepening the relationship with French railways, and particularly when the Paris to Moscow was launched. So they did run some Russian sleepers on overnight trains in France on a couple of occasions. So I think that would have been quite a surprise if you turned up at Paris Austerlitz to go down to the south of France and you're confronted by a Russian Provnik and the Russian sleeping car.
Yes, absolutely. It was one of those lovely Siemens Austrian four-berth cars. And the irony was that in Russia, four-berth is second class, two-berth is first class. Of course, when it was in service between Paris and Nice on a French night train, they were using it in second class four-berth mode as a first class couchette, which, yes, I think much nice as it is to have the French night trains back, the market has moved on from six berth, and the first class market wants something better than four berth. They haven't quite got the product right on French night trains. So hopefully they will be able to get some new stock at some point with single and double sleepers, and maybe even all suites on the Paris Nice and Paris Lourdes run at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and particularly say for the UK market, there's definitely a market for sleeper trains with en-suite facilities. Take the Eurostar across, have dinner, and then get onto the train, have a good night's rest, and have a shower, freshen up, and start your holiday down in the south of France.
It's the way the market's going. Everyone who wants a one or two berth sleeper seems to want an ensuite shower and toilet. And at the other end of the market, the people who want an economy bunk in the six and four berth couchettes would rather not have to share. So that's why UBB coming up with those mini suite capsules in their new trains. But whoever's starting up new sleeper trains needs to sort of take those trends on board, I think.
Yeah, it's somewhat of a dynamic market. Kind of cultural trends changing, a pandemic thrown into the mix as well. I think it is a challenge. And as I said earlier, I take my hat off to Nightjet for having faith and confidence in developing a night train network. Mark, I think that nicely ties up our chat today about sleeper trains. So thank you very much for joining me. And hopefully we'll get to travel on a sleeper train in the not too distant future.
I certainly hope so.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Bye for now.
Bye.